Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio, our special Survivor Series pre-show edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next 2 hours, we will be discussing tonight's big Survivor Series event at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Before we get started, folks, with the Survivor Series, I have to tell you something kind of interesting that happened. On our last show, I made a comment that if you took only the releases that the WWE had done in the past few rounds of releases, and threw in some Ring of Honor, who obviously Ring of Honor went belly up, and you had some money, you could make yourself a tremendous wrestling federation. I mean, one that could compete. And one of my listeners took it upon himself to send me a lineup he had done on his WWE 2K game. And it's remarkable. It's just remarkable, the names. If you had this type of names in your talent pool, you would have a really good federation. It's unbelievable the amount of talent that has been released from the WWE, and yes, now Ring of Honor, and that is just floating around out there. And what he did was he took primarily the people that WWE released, but he did have some Ring of Honor people, and he did have some independent people, but basically just took 25, I think there's maybe 25 or 30 names. And it was remarkable. I'm going down his list, and I'm saying, this is what a great roster. What a great roster of wrestlers he has. If there's a promoter out there who can afford to actually get these guys under contract, you've got yourself a pretty badass federation. So that's why I want everybody, I'm challenging everybody to come up with their federation. Their top, let's say they're 20. Let's just say do 20. This guy did, I think he did 25. Maybe he did 30, counting the women. Let's see what you can come up with and send it to me, because I'm very interested. Very interested in seeing how creative some people get. Now, he had on his list, of course, Bray Wyatt and Braun Strowman and Eric Rowan, of course. He had the Briscoes on his list, of course. He had Shane Thorne. He had Buddy Murphy. Pretty much all the top names, Hit Row. And I said to myself, wow, you know, it didn't even take a tremendous amount of time to do this. And if you went back even further, if you wanted to go back into the what's, you know, Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas and some of these other guys doing, you've got yourself a remarkable amount of people who are not signed to any major federation. I'm telling you that the time is right. The time is right. Anyway, folks, Survivor Series today. Actually, the Survivor Series is every day in the WWE, right? Because you have to check your messages to make sure you survive the cuts. But as far as we know, no one else has been cut. And we're looking at a Survivor Series that, quite frankly, feels a little bit like an afterthought. It wasn't given a really good build. Certainly the team matches were, they're almost irrelevant. And I'll tell you why the team matches are almost irrelevant. Because unlike some other years, and I know they've done this before, but unlike some other years, it's not the heels versus the faces even. It's just Raw versus SmackDown. Throw in some heels, throw in some faces, see if they can coexist on a team. Half of the people who were on the Raw team were on SmackDown a month and a half or 2 months ago. People on the SmackDown team were on Raw a couple of months ago. Just doesn't make that much sense. And to be honest, it looks like the WWE has sort of given up on this traditional Survivor Series format, and they just want to go with the champions versus the champions. And there wasn't even a build to Damian Priest versus Shinsuke Nakamura, none at all. None at all. And I would argue that the Survivor Series matches, the traditional ones anyway, are much more about can the actual team themselves survive than can they beat their opposition. It doesn't feel like anything's at stake. It doesn't feel like if the SmackDown team wins, you know, SmackDown gets a bullet point. It doesn't feel that way. It doesn't feel that way at all. And for that reason, Mike, unfortunately, I think these matches, at least the traditional ones, don't seem to matter very much.
Right. I don't think they matter very much as well. And that's sad. I mean, what made Becky Lynch the first time?
Right.
Okay. Yeah, they promoted her, but it was that whole SmackDown invades Raw, and then what happened after the fact when Nia Jax punched her in the face. That's
right.
What made Becky Lynch the first time, right?
And yeah, Mike, but even worse than that, this is the event that saw The Undertaker debut. I mean, at certain times, these events were big, important events that had real ramifications. I don't see that this year. I don't see any of these events, at least the traditional matches, having any ramifications. I just don't. I think we're looking at a couple of good matches. Roman Reigns and Big E should be a good match. Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair should be a good match. I would argue even Damian Priest and Shinsuke Nakamura should be a good match. My problem is they don't seem like they matter. They just seem like an afterthought this year, Church. And it's a shame because, to be honest with you, this was one of my favorite events in years gone by.
Oh, no. You're absolutely right. The Survivor Series pay-per-view used to be one of their big money-drawing pay-per-views because they had it set up right where it's the top five non-champions of SmackDown and the top five non-champions of Raw would go head-to-head to see which one had the better active roster. And
right.
Then they'd have the champions fight. That's how they used to draw for a Survivor Series. Now, when you get rid of half the roster, or half both of the rosters, and you don't, and there's no suspense. There's no, well, I know this guy is better than this guy when they were. Who are the top five non-champions on SmackDown and Raw? If you can give me that, there's your Survivor Series match.
I agree with you. Look, they got rid of guys that should have been in there. Karrion Kross could have been in there. Keith Lee should have been in there. These are people that you'd say, wow, you know, who's going to eliminate these guys? If anybody's going to eliminate these guys. Instead, we got, listen, I know the wrestling fan's going to be mad at me for saying this. And I love the guy, but Rey Mysterio doesn't belong in this. Rey Mysterio's well into his 40s. He's had his career. What the hell is he still doing this? If he wants to wrestle, fine, wrestle. But why is he in it? Why is Jeff Hardy in it? Come on, folks. They're not your top names. You needed to build up big names that you planned on using in the future in a major way. You didn't do that. You threw in Austin Theory. Now, I love Austin Theory's act. I think Austin Theory's going to be big. But he's not big now. And I just don't understand what the point is. I mean, we could sit here and speculate on who should have been the top guys. But you know what the sad thing is? You're hard-pressed to find five. You're hard-pressed to find five. Now, I agree with Bobby Lashley. Absolutely agree with a Bobby Lashley pick. I agree with Seth Rollins. I agree with Drew McIntyre. But we're starting to get thin past that, to be honest with you. Starting to get very thin. I just don't see this, Todd, as being something that fans are anticipating or wondering who's going to beat who.
I am absolutely right there, like you said. And when they decide, looks like by the looks of it, they want to drop the elimination matches format. Like, now this is like champions versus champions in all the matches now, technically. And hardly you see any elimination matches like they used to.
Do you remember when Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior were on the same team? And you're like, well, who the hell's going to eliminate him? What the hell kind of a team could possibly eliminate him? I mean, there was excitement about some of these Survivor Series matches. Now all we have is, can the teams coexist? How's Rey Mysterio going to coexist on a team with a guy who beat the hell out of his son? It doesn't make a lot of sense. It just doesn't make a lot of sense. I'm sorry, Mike, but it feels very anticlimactic this year, except for possibly Reigns and Big E and Becky and Charlotte.
Yeah, well, and if you want to throw in Shinsuke and Damian Priest, I think that's, like you said, I think that's going to be a good match. I think you don't really know who's going to win that match, and because both of them seem to be faces right now, you know. I mean,
yeah, the thing about it is, I do think it's going to be a good match. I just don't think it matters. Am I going to be upset if Damian Priest wins? No. Am I going to be upset if Shinsuke Nakamura wins? No. Is it going to mean anything at all? No. See, that's the problem. You didn't even have Damian Priest give an interview. You didn't even have Shinsuke Nakamura give an interview and say, this is why it's important. This is why I have to win. No, you didn't do it at all. It's like, oh, yeah, and they're fighting. Shinsuke, he'll take on somebody else and, you know, on SmackDown. He'll take on, who'd he take on? Madcap Moss? To prepare for Damian Priest. Damian Priest took on nobody. And unless you got something very special planned, Church, I don't see how this match, champion versus champion or not, matters at all who wins.
If you want to go champion versus champion, why not have the two belts that are not on the card go at it with each other? Do it the whole Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch angle. No titles are on the line, just SmackDown's Women's Champion versus Raw's Women's Champion. However, the two titles I'm talking about are the United States Champion versus the Intercontinental Champion.
Well, they did. Damian Priest versus Shinsuke. That's it. But again, you see that? Fans didn't even know it was on the card. That's what I'm saying. The WWE didn't promote it at all. Damian Priest is the champion. Shinsuke Nakamura is the champion. And they're fighting each other, and it doesn't matter. How sad is that? See, how sad is that? The WWE should take great pride in their promotion because they haven't promoted it at all. Why couldn't you have done something? Is Damian Priest injured? Is he sick? Is something wrong? If he is, well, then at least, my God, how sick could you be? You couldn't cut a promo? A taped promo? Anything would have been better than nothing, and you did exactly nothing. So then it's announced we're going to have a 25-man battle royal, and Sami Zayn's going to be in it. Well, I am just as curious as hell to see how many, I don't know, who you're going to drag out of the woodwork. Mostly tag teams, I guess. I'm sure we're going to see Dolph Ziggler and Rude and the Viking Raiders and then, I don't know. You know what these battle royals have become? Now it's going to be the Rocks, some kind of special thing for the Rock. Yeah, like the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, which turns out to be exactly what it is, the leftovers. Let's give the leftovers something to do so they don't feel left out. I hate this idea. I love battle royals, but I hate this idea because it always ends up being the leftovers. If it's a really important battle royal, why wouldn't you have some top names? Why wouldn't you do that? It doesn't seem to make any sense. It's like having an exhibition baseball game. You know, the New York Mets are going to have an exhibition baseball game against the New York Yankees. And the only Mets that are on the lineup at all that you recognize are guys that play third string, backup, shortstop. Well, that's not going to be a very good event. Fans aren't going to be into that because they're going to say, that's not the Mets. That's not the Yankees. That's their leftover guys that never play. Well, that's how I feel when it comes to this battle royal, Mike. It's like, well, we want to give the guys something to do so they get their faces on television. So throw 25 of them in a battle royal where they get thrown out every 5 seconds. The whole battle royal probably take about a minute and a half.
Right. Right. And that's the thing. I mean, my thing, I mean, I go back, like you said, Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior, you know, all these things. I mean, yeah, there were times when you saw, you know, things like, I don't know, the gobbledygooker or, you know, Red Rooster and all that stuff that appeared in it. But that was few and far between. And generally speaking, it's like, okay, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And we were excited for it at the time. I mean, it's like you said, it's an afterthought. It's almost to the point of saying, let's just cut this pay-per-view out.
That's how I feel. I hate to say that, Mike, but that's exactly how I feel. It feels like they're just going to – this is more like Clash of Champions, right? That's all this really is. It's not really like Survivor Series. Remember the Survivor Series is when – if you go way back to when you're kids, and it was even the champions were involved sometimes. They wouldn't have a championship match. It wasn't about the championship. It was about the top teams, the top guys, like Church was saying. But then when they wanted to do the champion versus champion, they at least established team captains, and they had those captains every week go searching for the right guys. They didn't just say, oh, you're on the team and you're on the team, and Adam Pearce says you're off the team and you're on the team. They didn't do that. They didn't do that at all. They had the captains go looking, and they had other people come up to the captains and say, I want to be on the team. There's a reason for me wanting to be on this team. Does anybody remember when John Cena reluctantly took Dolph Ziggler? And Ziggler turned out to be the key piece of the puzzle in that year's Survivor Series. There's an awful lot of stories you can tell. An awful lot of stories. You're not telling any of them. You're not telling any of them with any of these matches. You're not telling any stories whatsoever. All you're doing is throwing guys in there because, well, we need 5 guys. Big deal. So Kevin Owens is on the team. Well, his big feud, I guess, is with Big E. What the hell have we got? What's the big deal with Kevin Owens being on this team? What's the big deal with, I guess, Ray's not on the team anymore, so now it's Austin Theory. What's the big deal with him being on the team? Who is it that they're supposed to be trying to prove something to? Who is it that they are feuding with over on the other brand? It's just no good. I'm telling you, it's just no good. When they did the one with the Survivor Series being, you know, NXT was involved in things, that was kind of cool. But this year, it's just an afterthought. It's just throw guys together. Put Dominic in, take him out. Put Ray in, take him out. Put Aaliyah in, take her out. Why? Why would you do that? Makes no sense whatsoever. And if you really wanted to start this Sonya Deville feud with Naomi, you should have done it by having one of the girls get injured, and Sonya Deville has no choice, none, but to put Naomi on that team. And then she could either A, win the thing for her team, to which Sonya Deville can't really say anything, what can she say, or Sonya Deville costs her that because she'd rather continue a feud with Naomi than to have her own brand win, which, or that brand win, which would make a big deal. We don't have anything to go by here. How come Omos isn't on the team? Wouldn't that be interesting if Omos was on the team? I don't understand this, Church. It just seems like they get sloppier every year to the point where they just don't care. Let's see, I don't think we got Church right there right now, so we will go to back to Mike. Mike, why isn't Omos on this team?
I don't know. I mean, if, and plus, you're doing nothing with AJ. You know, why isn't he on the team?
Yeah, why isn't AJ on the team? It's a very good point. Why isn't he? Why isn't AJ and Omos on this team? Wouldn't they be two top guys? Because you'd say, well, nobody's managed to eliminate Omos at all. And AJ Styles is a top guy. He's not going to be easy to eliminate. Why aren't they on this team? Very, very, very good question. I don't have the answer. Probably because the WWE is just lazy, and they think it doesn't matter. Anyway, United States Champion, Damian Priest versus Intercontinental Champion, Shinsuke Nakamura. This is an interesting match only because both of these guys are really good athletes. And I think they're going to put on a really, really, really solid match. My problem with this is, for all of their efforts and all of the good wrestling you're likely to see, it doesn't matter. Unless you're a big fan of one of the two of them, it really just doesn't matter. What's supposed to happen here that we care about? Damian Priest wins and we say, okay, that's cool. Shinsuke Nakamura wins and we say, oh, okay, that's not good enough. Something should have happened here. They didn't have to turn on each other. They don't have to be, you know, mad dogs fighting each other because somebody did something horrible to them. But why couldn't you just have them say, this is an extraordinarily important event for me to win. I have to win this to prove that this is the top secondary belt. Intercontinental belt, U.S. belt is always about the same depending on the brand. It's, you know, it's the secondary belt for the brand. Whoever wins this is going to be catapulted to the second top champion in the brand behind in that brand, and third in the whole WWE. Why can't they say something like that? This is a stepping stone for me to get a shot at the title. If I win this, it's a stepping stone for me to get a shot at the title. No, not saying anything of the kind. So it kind of feels like an indie thing, where Todd, where you're just seeing two good wrestlers and there's no story behind it at all.
I remember back in the day when the Survivor Series took like a month, like late September, early October to build a Survivor Series team up. Not like in a week or two to build things up and just throw people together just like that.
Yeah, it used to be a very big deal. The WWE put a lot of planning into these, and even past it. The WWE would say, well, the reason we're having this team is because there's going to end up being a feud between these two people at this point, or we're doing something with this character, or we're introducing a new character, or we're going to do this or that or the other thing. There was always a reason. There's no reason for these. There's no reason at all. They just exist to exist. Anyway, I guess we got to give our predictions. I can't predict the Battle Royal because I don't know who's in it. The only person I know who's in it is Sami Zayn. I can imagine the whole rest of the locker room is in it, but I don't know for sure. I mean, are they going to put Omos in it? If he is, he's going to win it, obviously. But I don't know if they will. Anyway, let's just move on to the Damian Priest versus Shinsuke Nakamura prediction. I think they're building up Damian Priest far more than Shinsuke. Shinsuke's had his share of losses. Damian Priest, to my knowledge, has only lost one time, and that was to The Miz and Morrison together, and that was by cheating. I don't think I've seen him pinned or made to submit in any match, and I don't think it's going to stop now. So I think I'm going to go with Damian Priest in this one. I think that's the guy they have the most faith in going forward, Mike. So I'll go with Damian Priest.
I got to go with Damian Priest as well. I mean, look, we've talked about how it seems like Shinsuke Nakamura is basically happy. They're paying him well enough. Now, granted, knowing the WWE, tomorrow they could cut Shinsuke Nakamura like that, right? And not even think twice about it. But right now, they're happy with him. He's happy with what he's doing. And that it doesn't seem to matter to him, you know. He's getting paid. So, you know, and right now they're pushing. They seem to be pushing Damian Priest, which, again, that's another thing that could change on a dime, right? Because we've seen it happen. We've seen pushes changed on a dime. Things that should have been pushed that, you know, never were pushed. You know, the WWE in the last, say, handful of years has been famous for that, right? Famous for, you know, giving us something and getting us excited about it and then ripping it away.
I agree with it. You could make a better Survivor Series with the guys that were let go to some extent. At least that's my feeling. Anyway, Shinsuke Nakamura or Damian Priest, Todd? What do you think?
I'm going to go with Damian Priest.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, look, out of the two, who's better? Probably Shinsuke. But that doesn't really mean anything because he's not the guy they're going to push. He's the guy that right now, yes, he's holding a secondary championship, but, you know, he's not that young. He's been around a while. It's Damian Priest they're going to push to main event status. So I'll go with Priest, Church. How about you?
The fact that y'all are just saying Damian Priest is going to win it tells me Nakamura's contract is coming to a close sometime real soon. So, yeah, it's a clean sweep for Damian Priest.
Yeah, I don't know if – see, the thing about Shinsuke is he was put on record as saying – they asked him about that. They said, you know, you're a legend in Japan. You're not being used all that well in WWE. You're not a major player in WWE. When your contract up, or, you know, what are you thinking of? And he basically said, I'm perfectly happy with the WWE because I have to do next to nothing. And I get paid very, very, very well for it. In Japan, the matches are much longer. They're much harder. Even if the money was the same, I'm putting more and more of a toll on my body. In my current age and everything, I could do this for years. And I don't care. See, this is the thing. You get two different types of wrestlers. You get these hungry wrestlers like Bret Hart and some other people who say, no, I want to be a main event guy. I'll take less money if I'm a main event guy and I want to bust my ass and I want to do 25-minute matches and I want to show the world how good I am. Then you got other guys who are like, I don't need to do that. If you want to pay me a ton of money and you want me to come out here dressed up as a rabbit and hop around and get rolled up by the popcorn vendor, I don't give a – what do I care? Shinsuke Nakamura seems to be that type of guy. Was he just like, look, these matches are easy. I'm not getting hurt. Very little chance of me getting hurt, and I'm making really good money. So sign me up for that. So he may resign. And he's still a name, and he's still a draw. The interesting thing about Shinsuke is he's always going to be a draw because he's one of those entertaining type guys, but I don't think they're ever going to give him a major push. Damian Priest, they've just given this new I snap when people disrespect me type gimmick, which I thought was leading to Karrion Kross. I mean, that writes itself. Karrion Kross is supposed to be this dark, sinister, demonic sort of guy. And they're saying Damian Priest is this guy who's a nice guy until you piss him off, and then the dark side of him comes out. I figured that's what we were heading for. And instead, they let Karrion Kross go. There's two people. Well, there's three people. I will never forgive the WWE for letting go. One is Bray Wyatt. That was absolutely astonishingly silly. Second one is Keith Lee. If you can't find something to do with Keith Lee, you're not trying. You're not even coming close to trying. This is a guy who's legit 300 plus pounds, who can flip around like he's a Ricochet. This is a guy who's very well spoken, good on the mic, has a great look, great attitude. What's the problem? What is the problem? No idea. No idea. And the third one is Karrion Kross, not because I'm a huge fan, but because, for God's sake, you didn't even give the man a chance. What the hell did you expect him to do? You brought him up without his whole shtick, without Scarlett, without everything. You had him lose his very first match against Jeff Hardy. Then you put him in some ridiculous trick-or-treat outfit that looked like you bought it for about $14 at Party City. And then you tell him, well, you're not getting over. Well, no shit. I mean, what the hell did you want that guy to do? He could have got over. He could have got over huge if you gave him an opportunity. You didn't give him an opportunity. I don't mind if the WWE gives somebody a real chance and they blow it, or they just aren't reaching the audience. You know, when Nia Jax was let go, I said, I mean, how much more chance could you give her? She was champion. She was tag team champion. She was featured on main events all through most of her stint. She just wasn't, there's just not much left to do. She wasn't safe in the ring. She wasn't particularly good on the mic. There wasn't a whole lot more you could do with her. What's left? So I understand that. At least you gave her a chance. Keith Lee, you did not give a chance. Karrion Kross, you did not give a fair chance. And I don't know what more you wanted with Bray Wyatt. He was your top merchandise seller. He was literally your top merchandise seller. And you let him go because, well, he's getting difficult to work with, which is now a dog whistle for he will not let us ruin his character. That's the new dog whistle. You know, if you're Karrion Kross and they say, we want you to put on this ridiculous Halloween costume and come out to the Monster Mash and do a little wiggle dance, and you say, oh, I'm not doing that because that's going to destroy my character, then, oh, you're difficult to work with. No, they're protecting their character. What the hell you want them to do? They already know that's not going over. That's suicide. So you're asking them to go out there and commit suicide, and they're saying, no, I'm not doing it. Pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. But yeah, Damian Priest should win this. It is the right choice, and obviously Shinsuke Nakamura doesn't care one way or the other. Raw Tag Team Champions, RK-Bro versus The Usos. Only match that I honestly think might have a bigger storyline than we think. I've said for a long, long time, one of these two guys is turning on the other. And they keep making it look like it's Randy Orton. And he's done it a million times. He's turned on his partners a million times. And if they're smart, it won't be Randy Orton. If they're smart, it'll be Riddle. Because Riddle could say, well, you know what? He thought he was this and he thought he was that. And he, you know, talked down to me constantly. I'm not a guy you talk down to. You know, I'm sick of people laughing at me. I'm sick of being a joke backstage. I'm sick of being whatever. And I let Randy think he was the boss of this whole thing, but he's not. And I think you'd have a really good character in a heel Riddle going against a face Randy Orton, who, by the way, is going to be in his 177th pay-per-view match. He is now the top guy in the WWE in pay-per-view matches. He's going to surpass Kane tonight. 177 pay-per-view matches. That's pretty amazing, Mike.
It really is. And that's the thing. I mean, I thought at one point that they weren't going to give him a break. But obviously this RK-Bro thing caught on, and, well, and he likes doing it. So, and he said, well, probably it's catching on. I like doing it. I wanted a break, but I don't need it now because I've got something I like. right? So, yeah, 170 matches. That's not anything to sneeze at. I mean, look, Kane had it, and I would assume that John Cena would be close, and of course, The Undertaker at one point was close, I guess, maybe, because especially with the winning streak. You know,
well, so, he was definitely,
yeah,
he's definitely better on wins and losses, I think. But yeah, Kane was number two. I don't know who number three was, but man, that's a lot of pay-per-view matches. And he's going to have more because, you know, he's going to WrestleMania. You know, he's going to the Royal Rumble. So he's going to have, he could theoretically have close to 200 before his career is done. What has he got, 23 more? That's 2 years, right? If you're in every one once a month, right? Then maybe 2 years. You have 200. That's a lot. I don't think anybody's going to break that. Anyway, I think RK-Bro is going to implode. I don't think they're going to win. I think they're going to keep the Usos strong. I think they're going to win. I think Riddle's going to take the loss, and Riddle's going to be angry about it in some way, shape, or form. This is the only one I think is going to have a plot line behind it, Church. I'm going to go with the Usos.
Yeah, with that, they got to, if they're going to have Randy turn on Riddle, it's going to go over. But it's not going to go over as big as it would if Riddle was the one that turned on Randy.
I agree with that because it's so obvious. That's the problem. It's just too obvious. I would like Riddle to actually – see, the thing about Riddle was from the very beginning, I said he's an annoying character. And he would make a good heel because he's one of those type of guys you really feel like punching. But then Randy Orton came along, and for some reason, when he's with Randy Orton, he's much more tolerable. And he became a little more funny and a little more likable. But he could go back to that really easily. And Randy Orton, despite all of his flaws, and I'm not the hugest Randy Orton fan in the world, because I do think he's a guy who dogs it when he wants to. And I think he wants to quite a bit. But when he doesn't want to, and when he's really into what is happening, he's very, very good at what he does. And Randy makes fans like him anyway. He's been around so long, and he's such a legend, and, you know. And I think that Riddle, being this punk, snot-nosed kid who thinks he's got a big chip on his shoulder or whatever, I think it would make a better match if Riddle was the guy that turned instead of Orton. But you know, the WWE loves to just do things over and over again, so it wouldn't surprise me if Orton turns on him. Todd, what do you think, Usos or RK-Bro?
I'm going to go with the Usos to win the night. Well, like you said, I don't want to see Randy Orton turn heel. We've already seen that how many times, but instead I like to see the opposite. Riddle turns heel on Randy Orton tonight.
It would be so unexpected. It would kind of be cool. Especially when Orton's, you know, in that groundbreaking match. This is the match that's going to put you over the top as the top pay-per-view guy. It would be kind of cool. What's your thoughts on it, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, look. Yeah, they're faces right now, but It would make Randy Orton a very big face. I know they probably don't want him as a face. They think, and rightfully so, he'd be better off as a heel. But if you had somebody turn on him and say, "Hey, I learned from the best," you know.
Yeah. See, that's the thing I would think is that Riddle could say, "Well, all I did was do it to you before you're going to do it to me. I know you think I'm some dumb kid or whatever, but, you know, I led you by the nose. I got exactly what I wanted out of you for as long as I wanted it." But I don't know if they're going to be able to do that because they're tag team champions, right? So I don't know. I think there's going to be at least the start of some falling out tonight. It may be a much longer story, but I think the beginning I think we've already seen a little of the beginning, and I think this might just edge it a little bit farther. So I'm going to go with the Usos, and I think that's the right choice. And by the way, I will say it again. I think the Usos, quite honestly, are the best tag team in professional wrestling, and that includes AEW, that includes New Japan, that includes everywhere. And the reason I'm saying this is because I can't recall the last time I've seen a really bad Usos match. I can tell you the last time I saw a bad Randy Orton match. I can tell you the last time I saw a bad Undertaker match. I can tell you the last time I saw a bad AJ Styles match. I don't remember. I cannot think the last time I saw a bad Usos match. And the New Day's right there too close, really close. Really close. That's why it was so good when they fought each other. Because in my opinion, those are two teams who have so much pride that we're not going to do a bad match. And they don't. They just don't. I can't remember the last time I saw a bad New Day match either, really. But the thing with the New Day is why I would put them as number two. For a long time, they switched around. It was like, well, it's Xavier and Kofi, and then it's Kofi and Big E, and then it's Big E and Xavier, you know. So that was sort of a three-man thing. With the Usos, they were always those two guys, and man, they just bust ass every single night. They bust ass every single night. So this should be really good. You know, Randy Orton's all hyped up for this. Riddle's always good. I've never took away Riddle's athletic ability. I don't care for the guy, but I've never taken away his athletic ability. He's very good in the ring. And this should be a really good match. But if you're going to continue with this bloodline storyline and everything, the Usos got to win. You got to make the Usos have this invincibility about them that you say, damn, man, they hooked up with Roman, and damn them guys, they never lose. It's going to be so hard for somebody to beat them. That's what you want. Because then when somebody does, it's that much sweeter. So I'm going to go with the Usos. We'll see what happens. Let's move on to the women's elimination match, the women's Survivor Series match. And here's the teams. Team Raw is Bianca Belair. Great athlete. Liv Morgan. I'm sold on her less and less instead of more and more lately. I don't know why. Rhea Ripley. Her career's really tanked since coming into the WWE from NXT. Queen Zelina and Carmella versus Sasha Banks, Shayna Baszler, Shotzi, who no longer has the last name Blackheart, I don't know why, Natalya and Toni Storm. Toni Storm added to the team. And they're doing something where Toni Storm says, after this, I want to take on Charlotte Flair. So I guess they got something going on with that. I don't know what. I got to tell you this. I'm going with the team with Bianca Belair on it. Only because I think the WWE realizes that until Bianca Belair showed up, Naomi was probably the best athlete on both brands. In the women's division. Charlotte was very close. But Naomi, I think, it was actually maybe a little better, just as a raw athlete. Maybe not as a wrestler, but as a raw athlete she is. Then Bianca Belair showed up and took that shit to another level. Sometimes she can be annoying. Sometimes she can almost feel like a heel. But when she isn't, and they calm her down a little bit, and they just give her that more pleasant whatever, she's a very good face. She's got a lot going for her. And there's no question in my mind that she's a major part of the WWE's future in the women's division. Because she's learning every day. She's getting better and better. She's not getting complacent. She's actually getting better. And what her athleticism allows her to do is pretty damn amazing. I don't see that on the other team. I see some good wrestlers. Sasha Banks is a good wrestler. She's not Bianca Belair. Rhea Ripley's good. She's not Bianca Belair. I don't see Bianca Belair being eliminated from this match, Mike. So I'm going to take Bianca's team.
Right. And look, here's what's funny about that. If they hadn't removed Naomi from this match, we could have gotten Bianca versus Naomi, at least for a short stint.
Yeah.
If they hadn't, now here's something to think about, though. Could this be a point where Naomi, they took her out of the match, and Naomi comes and costs SmackDown the match?
Could happen. Could happen. I mean, here's what we've got for Team SmackDown. Sasha Banks, she's going to be their top person. Shayna Baszler, listen, she could probably kick the hell out of everybody in this match for real, but she's not been promoted as being very big, so I don't see her being a big problem. Shotzi just got here, already dropped to Sasha Banks by submission. I don't see anything major going on there. Toni Storm has been beaten like a drum. Natty's, you know, sticking around, but she's not somebody they're going to give a big push to. So, of course, Bianca Belair's team's going to win. Of course they are. I don't know if Naomi figures into this match. I hope she does. I hope she does. Todd, what do you think? Raw's team or SmackDown here for the women?
I'm going to go with the Raw women's team.
Yeah, I think that's probably pretty smart. I mean, they could pull a they love themselves some Sasha Banks. They give her everything on a silver platter, so it wouldn't shock me if Sasha Banks won, but I'm going to go with Raw. What do you think, Church?
It's another clean sweep for Raw. I'm going with them.
Yeah, me too. And I think Bianca Belair deserves it because after she won the women's championship and then Becky Lynch came back and took it in 48 seconds and she started dropping matches, it's time to build Bianca Belair back up. This is way, way, way too good of an athlete to be a mid-carder. Way too good. There's only about four women in the entire WWE that when they wrestle, I say, I'm going to watch this whole match. I'm going to watch the entire match. I'm not taking my eyes off the screen. One of them is Bianca Belair. The other one is Charlotte. And then I've always liked Naomi. I always thought Naomi was one of their best athletes. And Becky Lynch only because you just never know what Becky Lynch is going to do. She can be interesting sometimes. The rest of them and say, yeah, you know, I watch. But not with the same enthusiasm. Those are the four blue chippers, in my opinion. Perch. All right, let's go to the men's 5-on-5 elimination match. On the Raw side, we have Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, Kevin Owens, Bobby Lashley, and Austin Theory. And they're facing Drew McIntyre, Xavier Woods, Jeff Hardy, Happy Corbin, and Sheamus. This is a little closer. It's a little bit closer. The guy in here I don't see being eliminated is Bobby Lashley. Lashley's going to be that guy that, how do you eliminate Lashley? Who's going to do that? The only guy I can see is maybe Drew McIntyre. Maybe. However, you know how this works. And if Raw wins one, SmackDown usually wins the other. So I'm kind of nervous about how that's going to work. If the women's Raw team wins, I'm almost going to guarantee you that the men's SmackDown team wins. Now, how would they win? I don't know. Maybe get Bobby Lashley out of there by count out, or maybe him and Drew McIntyre both double count out. And then we might see some interference from Madcap Moss or even from Sheamus' newfound friend there. Somehow I think SmackDown's going to win this. I hope that they protect Bobby Lashley doing it because he's a guy also that I think has really done well for the WWE. And I don't want to see him just take a kick and, you know, take a claymore and get pinned. I don't want to see that. His stock is already down since losing the belt. It's time to build him back up, too. If you got to eliminate him, you know, let him and Drew take each other out or something. So I'm going to go with reluctantly with SmackDown. I think the Raw team should win, but I don't think they're going to win, Mike.
I don't think they're going to win any either. And look, Rich Holland, you know who's probably going to be Rich Holland's first feud? Probably at some point he's going to be facing Cesaro at some point.
Yep.
Because they're having a big problem. And look, you mentioned the female athletes. Well, had they not screwed her up and recently fired her, I would have put Ember Moon on that list as well, you know?
Yeah, Ember Moon was a great athlete. I agree with that. They screwed her up, ended up firing her. Again, you can make better matches with who they fired than who they have. You're going to tell me that at some point you wouldn't want to see, if you traded Keith Lee over to SmackDown or whatever, you don't want to see Keith Lee and Bobby Lashley? You don't want to see that? You don't want to see Keith Lee and maybe Omos or something? You don't want to see that? Come on. You don't want to see Karrion Kross and Damian Priest go at it? Come on. These things wrote themselves, and you wasted them. I mean, how about if The Fiend was in the damn Survivor Series? You didn't even know you could trust them. There would have been a lot of interesting stuff you could have done. A lot of interesting stuff. Anyway, Todd, what do you think? Who wins this, SmackDown or Raw?
I'm going to go with looks like SmackDown.
Yeah, I'm only picking SmackDown because I picked Raw for the women's team, and usually that's the way it works. I think Ridge Holland's going to have something to do with it, and maybe Madcap Moss, too. Church, what's your thoughts?
No, I'm not picking SmackDown because they might just pull the swerve and go, well, Raw won both teams, or Raw won with both teams. I don't know what to tell you.
I kind of hope they do. I kind of hope the last guy standing is Lashley because that would be fitting. That would put him back into good standing where you say, wow, man, Bobby Lashley, he's back with a vengeance. That's bad. You know, that's big trouble for Big E. Because ultimately, Bobby Lashley and Big E is going to be a really good match. It's going to be a really good match. Big E's done an outstanding job. I know a lot of people have been down on him. A lot of people said, oh, it's not the same. Well, it isn't the same. You're right. He's a little more serious. He's a little more whatever. But I think he's doing a really good job. I really do. And the reason he's doing a really good job, I think, is because he feels beatable. In other words, he's that champion that when you say he's fighting Lashley, he's fighting Brock, he's fighting this guy, you're like, uh-oh, he may not win. Before, we always had champions that you're like, yeah, nah, he's not losing to that guy. He's not losing to this guy. With Big E, you're always like, he might. He might lose to that guy. So it makes his matches exciting. So, you know, I think he's doing a great job. I hope Team Raw wins in the men's division because I don't think SmackDown needs it. I really don't. Their top guy over there right now that they got on this team is Drew McIntyre. Yeah, Drew McIntyre needs a win, but you could have Drew McIntyre taken out in a way that he's not pinned or forced to submit. Let him be counted out or disqualified or something, and that's fine. Seth Rollins, well, he's abandoned teams before. He may abandon this one. I don't know. In the chat room, Derek's saying, I don't know if it's right to have Theory to get eliminated. Yeah, this is my big problem. You had introduced Austin Theory as a guy who was a brash, loudmouth, cocky, no respect sort of dude. And yet, he's real good. And you can't seem to finish him off. And each time he wins, he just gets more cocky, more arrogant, more whatever. This is not the time to have him pinned. That's absolutely correct. This is not the time to have this guy pinned. And yet he's going to have to be if his team don't win. That's why I say this is a mistake to put Austin Theory on here. Not because I don't like Austin Theory, because this is not his time to lose, and I think he's going to. Now, could you protect him in the loss? I guess, but I just would rather have not had him on the team. I'd have rather had him come down taking selfies and cost his team the match. I'm not on the team, but I'm coming down and taking selfies like I am, and then somebody gets involved with, what the hell are you doing out here? And the next thing you know, they're wrapped up. That would have furthered his gimmick as I only care about myself a hell of a lot more. But we'll see. I mean, listen, they could pull a swerve on us. Absolutely they could. Seth Rollins is still a major name, man. And yeah, I know they don't want him losing. Finn Balor, I don't think they care much about at this point. Kevin Owens, well. We'll see what happens with him. I mean, his contract is coming up, and he's made some strong indications he may not re-sign. Let's go to the Raw Women's Championship match, Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. I think we're being swerved. I know that they had that little thing that supposedly everyone has said was real in the dressing room where Becky Lynch went to, I mean, Charlotte Flair went to business for herself. Becky Lynch said it made her look bad on camera. Becky Lynch supposedly went back to the dressing room and her and Charlotte had words. Sonya Deville was ready to fight Charlotte Flair over it, apparently. Then Becky Lynch went on some television shows and said, we don't even talk. She used to be my best friend. That's true. But, you know, she changed a lot. And the locker room, you know, she's just not popular. She doesn't say anything to anybody. She thinks she's better than everybody else. And the locker room doesn't dare say anything to her. Well, you know what? If someone has to stick up for the locker room, then I will. And when she was asked flat out, do you trust her in a wrestling match? She said, no, I don't. And that doesn't make for good matches, because if I can't trust her, there's a lot of things I won't do or can't do because I don't know how she's going to react. And the best matches are always done between two people who really, really trust each other and like each other. And at this point, that's not us. And I said, gee, that sounds real. But I think we're being played with. I don't think it's real. I'm starting to think it's not real. Because the WWE's even mentioned it and brought things up, and I don't think they would do that. So I think we are going to get a good match out of this. And I cannot see Charlotte Flair winning this match. I can't see it. I just can't. They're building her up to face Tony Storm, beat Becky Lynch. So there's going to be something going on by which Becky Lynch wins this match. Not sure how, but I'm going to go with Becky Lynch. She's going to be the one that they're promoting as sort of the who's going to be able to take the belt away from her. Charlotte has had her shares of ups and downs. So I'll go with Becky Lynch on this one, Mike. What's your thoughts?
I'm going to go with Becky Lynch as well. And look, right now, because we talked about this before, how, you know, they got rid of her fiance, and then they got rid of her father, right? And that her father was the last bit of her comfort zone that she had. Yeah, she was friends with she's friends with Becky, but her real comfort zone came that her father was still there, right? Now he's not there anymore, and we know that. The last few matches, you know, have not. She's kind of been laissez-faire and not doing well, and not kind of walking through the matches, sleepwalking through the matches, right? So, I mean, and that's another thing that should tell you that it's a great possibility that this, because of that, and because of them seeming to play us, that this match. Could absolutely steal the night.
It could. It very well could. The good thing is, if they're swerving us and they're really good friends, this match could really steal the night. If they're not swerving us and they're really not friends and they really do have heat, it could still steal the night because you have no idea what's going to happen in that match. You know, if you're in there with somebody who's your best friend and they hit you directly in the nose, you know they didn't do that on purpose. You know they slipped, so you're just like, okay, well, whatever. mistakes are mistakes. You're in there with somebody that doesn't like you, and they know they don't like you, and you don't like them, and they punch you in the nose. You're like, I wonder. And then you know what you do? You elbow them in the side of the head a little bit too hard and say, well, there, take that. And the next thing you know, you have a fist fight on your hands. I've seen it happen. So either way, it's going to be an interesting match. Either way. We now get to Roman Reigns. Oh, by the way, Derek in the chat room saying Austin Theory could win this whole thing. Yeah, I mean, he could. If they really want to build him up, I guess he could. Something tells me they're just – the WWE is not good at building people up. You're talking about the Federation that had Karrion Kross lose to Jeff Hardy in his debut, only to have Austin Theory beat Jeff Hardy a couple times. So that's a little weird. I don't know. If they think that much of him, I guess. At least it would be something. If he won, at least you'd say, wow, they really think a lot of him. They're putting some, you know, major push behind him. I'd be okay with that. As long as Lashley, I do not want to see Lashley get pinned or made to submit. I do not want to see it. Lashley's one of those guys you need to protect. He's lost too much. Now's the time for him to go monster on somebody. You want him disqualified because he's going berserk? Go for it. Go for that, but not pinned or submitted. Count it out, it depends. I've always thought the count out is kind of weak unless you're really like going at it when you just say, I don't give a damn anymore. I always hate it when they're like, oh, did I get counted out? Damn it. Because then it makes you look like an idiot. You already know the rules. You already know you're outside the ring. You already know you got 10. And you weren't listening? Oh, I made it in at 11. Damn it. I don't like that. Because it makes you look like a dumbass. Now, if you're just so mad at your opponent that you don't care anymore, and you guys are just battling in the audience and stuff, that's fine. That's okay. Or if you're so hurt that you're limping to try to get back in and you don't make it, that's okay too. But I hate it when it's supposedly an accident and then they bug their eyes out. Well, I counted out. Yeah. Yeah, you did. Cause you're outside the ring, idiot. So don't do that to Lashley either. I'll be okay if Austin Theory wins the whole thing. Anyway, Big E versus Roman Reigns. I'm telling you, no one is beating Roman Reigns until WrestleMania. I don't give a damn who it is. Brock Lesnar didn't beat him. Big E's not beating him. Not happening. It would be wrestling malpractice to have Roman Reigns lose to anyone before WrestleMania because you already know it's going to be a big, big, big match. Now, are the Usos going to get involved and maybe even the New Day? Probably. It's definitely going to be a clusterfuck. It's not going to be a clean pin. But Roman Reigns is going to win this. And he should. He should. Because at the end of the day, remember what I said. The reason Big E is such a good champion is because he's beatable. And we never know when he's going to lose. That's what makes him great. If you're a Big E fan, you're like, uh-oh, I don't think he's going to get by this guy. That's good. So to have him lose once in a while in these situations where it doesn't cost them the belt isn't the worst thing in the world for Big E. As a matter of fact, it's a good thing. Because then it makes us wonder, oh, man, Roman Reigns got him. Okay, not legally, but he still got him. Maybe, you know, Lashley might be able to take him out too. Maybe this guy will. Maybe Kevin Owens will. Maybe somebody else will. That's good for a face. Opposite end of the spectrum, Roman Reigns has got to be invincible till WrestleMania. So I'm going to go with Roman Reigns, Mike. I'm not sure how, but he's going to take this.
I got to go with Roman Reigns as well. And I do agree with you that it's going to be, you know, a cluster and the Usos and the New Day, because you know what's going to happen after that. They're going to have that six-man tag team match. They're just going to between the New Day and the
Bloodline, yeah.
And the Bloodline, yeah, they're
going to
have to.
See, I thought that's what was going to happen this year. Somehow along the line, I thought we were going to get Naomi in the Bloodline. And we were going to get the Bloodline in that feud. I don't know who the New Day would recruit. A woman. Who would it be? I guess it could be Bianca Belair. I guess it could be whoever. It doesn't really matter. If the New Day could have gotten female to, quote-unquote, join the group for the night, that would have been a very interesting match. Very interesting. But they don't want to do that. The WWE, they don't want to think too hard. They don't want to think too hard. All right, Todd, so who's winning, Big E or Roman Reigns?
I'm going to go with Roman Reigns.
Yeah, I think this one is kind of obvious. I don't see any reason to let Big E go over Roman Reigns before WrestleMania, Church. What do you think?
You're absolutely right. Roman Reigns has to remain invincible until at least WrestleMania. And then he can lose till the cows come home, really.
Right. Now, the big thing in this is The Rock going to show up? Because a lot of people said he was going to. Now, The Rock himself said no. He said he'll be in Australia, I believe. Now, could he be lying? Yeah, of course he could be lying. He could swerve you. But what I'm hearing is they don't want The Rock for this year's WrestleMania in Texas. They'd rather have it be next year in California. That means you got to stretch Roman Reigns out a long time, though. This would have been the ultimate opportunity, the whole head of the table thing and the invincible champion and The Rock coming back saying, I think you forgot who the real head of the table is. It would have been a big deal. I don't know if it'll be as big a deal next year. By then, I think Roman Reigns will have suffered a loss. I'm not even sure he'll be the champion. Will Brock Lesnar be there? Yes, very possible. Very possible. I don't think both will. It's going to be one or the other, obviously. And I think it's much more likely that Brock Lesnar shows up than The Rock. But going through this whole thing, let's predict the survivors, shall we? We said that the Raw women's team will win. It was a clean sweep. Bianca Belair, Liv Morgan, Rhea Ripley, Zelina Vega, and Carmella. Out of those, I think they got Liv Morgan against Becky Lynch, so it would be kind of weird if she got eliminated or pinned. So I'm going to say she survives. And I think Bianca Belair is going to survive. I think Bianca Belair and Liv Morgan will be the two remaining survivors on that team. What's your thoughts, Mike?
I don't think so. I think you're right on that. And the thing is, you know, we're talking about who's going to be. And look, I'm expecting at some point in that match with Bianca Belair that somebody tries to use her hair against her. Because it's happened before. Now, Are they going to allow her to, like a bullwhip like she's been known to do? You know, I like to see her do it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, at this stage of the game, I think they've let her do it before, so there's no reason they probably wouldn't let her do it again. But we'll see, because, again, that's sort of a heel thing. I know it technically is a body part, but I think they look upon that as a heel thing. And that's why they've told her not to, and they've told her opponents to use it against her instead. Remaining women on that team, Todd, what do you think?
I'm going to go with Bianca Belair as sole survivor.
Sole survivor. Okay, so you think Liv Morgan will get eliminated. Well, that would certainly boost Bianca up. Church, what's your thoughts?
I mean, while you guys do have a point, I'm gonna say this: Becky Lynch is the well, no, not Becky. She's not in the picture.
You got Bianca, Liv Morgan, Rhea Ripley, Zelina Vega, and Carmella.
They're gonna try and push Rhea.
I wouldn't be upset if they did. Wouldn't be upset if they did. There is one thing we want to talk about in this match, and that is usually the WWE doesn't start, well, they, how can I word this? Usually if the WWE shows you something, it's because they got an idea of where they want to go. And when I saw Nikki A.S.H. really upset that she didn't get in the Survivor Series and Rhea Ripley did, and Rhea Ripley trying to comfort her saying, it's fine, it's okay, I said to myself, Nikki A.S.H. is turning on Rhea Ripley. They're gonna, that's the next feud. Nikki's going as far as she can with this cartoon superhero good guy thing, and she's going to go back to being that maniac. And maybe might even see something to do with Alexa Bliss again when she comes back. That could happen. That could happen. You could see Nikki A.S.H. run down there and supposedly to help Rhea Ripley and instead cost her the match or whatever. There could be some side storylines to this. Because I don't know why you'd keep Nikki A.S.H. out of it anyway. Why would she not be in it? Above Carmella. Carmella's been pinned by everybody. So it's a little weird why Nikki's out of it. And there should be a reason why she's out of it. So we'll see how that works. If Rhea Ripley does win the whole thing, at least they're promoting her. I say get her out of the tag team thing anyway. Get her out of it. You need solo competitors. You need women's tag teams like you need a hole in the head. The tag team division is done anyway. I don't even know why you have women's tag team champions. It's just dumb at this point. You don't even have enough tag teams to do it. And Rhea Ripley is much better off on her own. And probably so is Nikki. Now it's going to be a little harder. Let's get to the men's and see who we think is going to be left over. I know Church has the Raw team winning, and we have the SmackDown team winning. So I'm going to say the SmackDown team, I'm going to say Drew McIntyre is left. And I'm going to say that it's a possibility that Xavier Woods is left too. Those are the two I'll say. Xavier Woods and Drew McIntyre left for SmackDown. What's your thoughts, Mike?
I think you're right about that. You gotta start. Drew had been cycled down for a while now. You gotta start to cycle him up somehow, you know. And so, to at least make him a viable guy for Roman Reigns. You know, so Drew has to be cycled up somehow, and this could be the start of it.
Yeah, that's my thought, is that Drew McIntyre's just come over to SmackDown. They want to make a big deal out of him and all that. Happy Corbin and those guys, they're not going to stick around. Even Sheamus, it's probably not going to stick around. I don't see Drew getting eliminated unless it's by Lashley and they eliminate each other or whatever. I mean, Derek in the chat room saying it could be Austin Theory. I could see potentially a deal where Drew McIntyre and Lashley take each other out and Theory is the winner by, you know, luck. Well, he's the last guy left. So he wins. Because that would be annoying if he really didn't do anything. I won the Survivor Series and you did exactly nothing. You just got lucky. You're the guy that, you know, eliminated no one, and yet you're the winner. That would fit his character. I don't know what end, though. I mean, Lashley and McIntyre aren't going to feud, and I don't know. It's going to be tough. Let me go to Church, because Church, you have the other team winning. So who do you have surviving from the Raw team?
Honestly, I'm thinking like this. They have McIntyre basically decimate two out of the five Raw superstars, and then have Lashley somehow make it so that Drew gets counted out. Starting
that could happen.
Just in case they want to move Lashley over to SmackDown, and It also saves Drew from getting pinned or submitted in the middle of the ring, squashing whatever push he may have had for Roman, because you like you had said earlier, Marcus, they're trying to save Drew for Roman.
Right.
And
yeah, it's hard to work
there,
around this, isn't it? When you start to do the math, it's hard to work around it. You don't want Drew to look weak. You don't want Lashley to look weak. You've just got Austin Theory in there. You don't want him to look weak. So then what you're looking at is you say, well, Seth Rollins, you sort of don't want him to look weak either, but it's okay. Finn Balor doesn't matter. Kevin Owens, it does matter, but I guess if he's leaving, it doesn't matter. Happy Corbin, who cares? Sheamus will take the loss. Jeff Hardy will take the loss. That don't matter. So you got to do a little bit of finagling to make sure these other guys don't look too weak. The problem with this whole card is this. As much finagling as you have to do with these Survivor Series matches, at the end, they don't mean anything. Look back to these other Survivor Series where you say, this actually meant something. This victory meant something. These don't. They just don't. The only thing they're going to mean is for the individuals who survive them. It might mean something good for Lashley if he survives it. It means they're going to keep pushing him. That's good. But as far as what it means storyline-wise, there's no storyline. There's absolutely no storyline to any of this stuff. Absolutely none. It's a shame. It's a damn shame. I don't know what to tell you, folks. The WWE has changed a lot, and they haven't changed for the better. You know the situation. I think some fans have come right out and said that WWE no longer really cares so much about their fans, and I don't want to be the guy that thinks that, but I mean, I'm not sure what we're supposed to think otherwise. We're given pay-per-views that really seem to be thrown together last minute. We're given situations where people with a push are just fired for no apparent reason. We're told to believe in these certain characters, and then they're gone. Feuds drop out of nowhere. People change heel to face with no real motivation. As a top member. And then you get to the worst of the worst, which is battle royals featuring hangers-on. And I think at this point, we're looking at, like I said, a couple of matches that fans care about and a whole bunch that we really don't. Should never be that way. Should never be that way. I remember in the old WWE, even the undercard matches we cared about because we knew it was going to lead to something. Okay, it wasn't the top match on the card. Okay, it wasn't that big of a deal, but we knew something was going to happen that could make it a big deal down the road, whether it be they're pushing another big star up the ladder or whether they're planning on a feud between two people and we see it coming. This, we just don't. WWE's made the Survivor Series a lot less important than it used to be, and that's a shame. It's a damn shame. Out of all these matches, I do think RK-Bro versus the Usos is probably going to steal the show. I do think Becky Lynch and Charlotte have a chance. And I think you might see something good out of Shinsuke Nakamura and Damian Priest, even though I don't think the outcome matters. Aside from that, I don't care if Raw wins or SmackDown wins. Why do I? You've done a very odd thing. You've put people I am supposed to not like team and make me want to root for them. That doesn't make any sense. In the old days, it was the heels versus the faces, right? It was Raw versus Raw, okay. But they were the heels versus the faces. Now you've got heels versus heels, faces versus faces, heels and faces on the same team. So if I hate Seth Rollins, why do I want his team to win? That doesn't make any sense. I don't like Sheamus or I don't like whoever, why do I want their team to win? Doesn't make any sense. You're not allowing the fans the opportunity to really get behind a team and say, I really, really, really want this team to win. Gone are the days, I guess, when we get that. Gone are the days. And it could have very easily been done, but you know why they can't do that, Mike? Because they don't have 10 guys on any one of these federations. If they want to put Raw heels against SmackDown faces and SmackDown heels against Raw faces, they ain't got five of each. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, so that's the major reason is we don't seem to have five of each. We don't have five heels and five faces from Raw.
You're absolutely right there, like you said. Back then, like I said before, I could say this again. Back in the day, you had a heel team and a face team in the Survivor Series. Now it's like heels and faces as teams on Raw and SmackDown. It just... They just don't care. They just throw them together anymore.
Yeah, because I couldn't come up with five guys on Raw that are all faces that would be top faces anyway against five heels. I couldn't do it, and vice versa, Church. That's the reason they have to do this is they just haven't built up that many people.
This is the problem when you get rid of half your roster a month before the pay-per-view.
Yep. Yeah, we need every hand on deck for the Survivor Series. Let's fire 15 people. Because you couldn't do it afterwards. You couldn't freaking do it afterwards. You couldn't say, all right, well, we're going to keep all these guys till after the Survivor Series. We'll let them go prior to, like, the Rumble or whatever. But Survivor Series, we're going to, you know, we got to have a stacked card. No. Nope, can't do that. It's unbelievable, Mike, how unforced errors, that's what they would call it in professional sports, how many unforced errors this company makes.
You know, yeah, how many unforced errors they make, but what I was going to say earlier is let's just take the Survivor Series and give it to AEW. You know, we know who the faces are there. We know who the heels are there. They got enough people to fill out the teams, you know. I mean, Tony Khan seems to want to sign everybody, so, and everybody from the WWE anyway. So, I mean, think about it. And we've already said that probably it's going to be unfair to do it, but you when you compare this weekend's pay-per-view to AEW's pay-per-view from last weekend, AEW is going to blow up, that pay-per-view is going to blow away the Survivor Series.
I absolutely agree with you. Could I pick out five top guys to go against five top guys or even 10? Of course you could. All you really need to do, all the WWE really needed to do is say we're doing a five-on-five, Raw versus SmackDown, heels versus faces, 5-on-5 the other way. But they couldn't because they didn't have enough people. Go over to AEW and you could do it with any number of people. My God, you got factions as big as that. You could have one faction against the other faction Survivor Series team. What factions do we have other than the Bloodline at this point? I guess New Day? You've destroyed the Hurt Business for no good reason. What did you get out of that? That's what I want everybody to understand. What did you get out of destroying the Hurt Business, and why did you do it? Oh, Bobby Lashley and MVP kicks them to the curb because, give me the because. If you're pitching me that idea, if you come to me and say, hey, Marcus, I got an idea. Lashley gets really upset at the rest of the Hurt Business, and him and MVP kick him to the curb. Okay, and because why? What's the payoff? Oh, there's no payoff. Well, then it's a lousy idea. Give me the payoff. No, there is none. Okay, well, then we're not doing it. If you want to give me the payoff that, well, Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander are going to form a face team and they're going to be a thorn in the side of MVP and Bobby Lashley, or it's all a ruse, and when Bobby Lashley's just about to lose, you're going to find out that MVP and Lashley swerved everybody and they were always on the same page and they just wanted to make it look that way. Okay. I'm all good with these ideas. But when you tell me there isn't an end game, there's no good reason, we're just doing it, then you're an idiot because you've wasted talent. And there's no reason to waste that talent. What's Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin doing now? Nothing. They're probably going to end up being in this Rock Battle Royal thing. Why is the Hurt Business not a faction? There's no good reason, Church. It's just one of those things that the WWE does and says, eh.
This is what happens when you have corporate writers just looking to make a dollar and looking at their bottom line, running a professional wrestling corporation. Because let's call it like it is. It's called the World Wrestling Entertainment, is it not?
Yeah.
Then why are corporate writers even involved? I can understand. Like having corporate writers involved from a, all right, can't say this on television aspect, but when it comes to major storylines, don't. Just stop.
Well, the thing is, no matter who wrote this angle, it's just lousy because you don't have an end game. That would be like saying, okay, I got an idea. The Usos break from the bloodline. Okay, and what's the end game to that? And they do what? Well, they don't do anything. Well, then that doesn't make any sense, though. Well, it's just something to do. Yeah, but it doesn't make any sense. It actually hurts. It doesn't help. That's not a good idea. Well, it's the same thing with the Hurt Business. Not a good idea. You know what would have been a good idea? A good idea would have been to add Keith Lee. Nope, can't do that. Gold at one point, you had that championship belt. You guys are on fire. You could have flipped them all face. That's another good idea. You could have had Lashley be the guy that says to MVP, I don't know, man. I don't want to get rid of him. But MVP says yes, so he does. And it turns out they all end up flipping face eventually. Give me any storyline. Give me anything. I don't care what it is. Give me your end game. Otherwise, it's not worth doing. It's the same way with Elias. We're going to have Elias lose to Jackson Ryker. The idea is going to be that Ryker's fed up with Elias being an egotistical whatever. And he's going to turn on Elias. Elias is going to be the heel. Elias is going to lose. And he's going to go away for a while. And what's the end game? What are we doing with Ryker after this? If you're going to promote him as being better than Elias and beating Elias, you must have something planned for Ryker. No. No. As a matter of fact, we let him go. Okay. Well, then why in the world would he ever go over Elias? Why in the world would you ever have that happen? I don't know. Something to do. See, that's the problem. You cannot write. If you sit down to write a novel, you write the ending first, or at least you conceive the ending first. So you know where this whole thing is going. My end game is X, Y, and Z happens. And that's how the book ends. Now it's about getting to it. The WWE do the opposite. They write stuff and say, I don't know what the end game is. There isn't really one. We're just kind of slapping around in the water trying not to drown. That's not good enough. And that's why when it comes to this Survivor Series, you don't have any drama because they didn't think it was worth a long-term effort to write the ending of this stuff first and then work toward how they're going to get there, Mike.
Absolutely. And let's go back to our boy Elias. It would make all the sense in the world. you were going to do this anyway, okay? Elias is an acoustic guy, but it wouldn't have been anything for him to change to an electric guitar and be the guy to help flip Shinsuke Nakamura and be playing Shinsuke to the ring. It wouldn't have been anything to do that. And yeah, I like Rick Boogs, but right now, if you look at it, yeah, he's improving, but Elias is still much better in the ring than Boogs is.
Yeah, absolutely. Or at least equal. I mean, he's not, Elias has always been charismatic. He's not been the greatest wrestler, but Jesus, that's another thing. You know, we're going to make Elias stop doing his songs and stop doing the singing. Okay, because why? What's the end game to that? Oh, we want to change him. Well, but the fans like it, though. Yeah, but it's getting old. Well, it's not that old because the fans are still really behind it. Yeah, but we want to change him around to something else. What? Well, we don't really know. We'll get back to you on that. Well, that's not a good idea. Get back to me when you have the idea. Would you do that? Would you conduct your own life like that if somebody said, I'm planning a trip. Want to come? Where are we going? I don't know. How much is it going to cost? I don't know. When are we leaving? I don't know. Well, get back to me when you know, because otherwise there's no point. When these writers come up with these ideas, do you not have an end game for this? We're going to turn Becky Lynch heel. It's going to be a big swerve. Fans will go nutso. Okay, what's the end game? Feud with Charlotte Flair. Yeah, but Charlotte's a heel. So they're just going to cheer for Becky. So that's really not going to work. That's just a waste of Bianca Belair. Yeah, but it's something to do. It'll be a big swerve for this pay-per-view. Yeah, but you don't have an end game. What the hell is the end game? You don't have one. That's my issue. You just do shit to do it. Nobody is planning ahead of time. Nobody is saying, okay, we're doing this thing where Roman Reigns is going to recruit the Usos, and then Jimmy Uso is going to be totally against it. Jey Uso is going to be for it. They're going to be torn. Eventually, Jimmy's going to see the error of his ways and say, I guess I got to be in there with the family, and then they're going to end up recruiting Naomi eventually. That's long-term booking. That's why people like that. That's why you have a good angle. Because when you did that, you had an end game. You had it all planned. Jimmy's going to be against it. We're going to get a good month or two out of that. Eventually, he's going to see the light. Then you're going to get the Usos as his henchmen. Eventually, Naomi's going to be recruited over here. She's going to join the fold. I see that coming. We're going to get something decent out of it because you long-term booked it. You're not doing that with anybody else at all. And with no other, nothing, not even Big E. Where's Big E's long-term booking? It's going to be Kevin Owens? That's not good. Where's that long-term booking? I mean, if you say we're going to make Big E the champion and Xavier the king, and we're going to take away Kofi for a while, and when Kofi comes back, remember, all those guys were so happy for Kofi when he was the champion, remember? And they said, if he's the champion, we're the champion. That's the way we feel because we're all brothers. But when Kofi comes back, he's going to have his nose broke that he's not the champion, he's not the king. He's going to have his nose broke that he's the lowest man on the totem pole. And eventually that's going to lead to him challenging Big E. I'd say, okay, that sounds pretty good. That sounds like a good end game. Even if they hug after a match, it's still an end game. It's still something. No, you don't have anything for Big E. Well, I don't know. Kevin Owens will turn on him, then he'll fight him. What after that? I don't know. Okay, well, that's not good. This is the way they operate, Church, and this is why these matches end up meaning nothing in the long run.
Exactly. They used to write from WrestleMania to WrestleMania, have a whole year's worth of matches planned out and everything. Now
yep.
It's, okay, from week to week. That's
exactly
not how
right.
You run a wrestling corporation.
They're backstage at Raw saying, what are we going to do? I know this for a fact, that they're backstage at Raw saying, what's going on? We're changing everything. Vince didn't like this. We don't want to do that. What are we going to do? The airtime is in an hour, and they're changing. Church is absolutely right. The idea used to be, next year's WrestleMania, we want this. Now, of course, people could get injured and things might change, but foreseeably, this is what we want. How do we work toward getting there? It's called backward booking. Works all the time. That's what you have to do. That's exactly what you have to do. Otherwise, it's just a meandering storyline that swerves and doesn't go anywhere, and it's up, it's down, and then nobody cares. And I'll tell you another thing that you never do. You never introduce a character and then have him lose right away, because there's no payoff. Now, if I was going to introduce Madcap Moss, I would have said Madcap Moss is going to win matches in the most lucky, ridiculous, I cannot believe he won that way type ways. So he could laugh about it. And you say, well, the son of a bitch, he's not very good, but Jesus Christ, he always ends up winning somehow. It's ridiculous the way this guy's winning. And who the hell is going to beat him? Because we know he's not that good, and he's making everybody else look bad. That's annoying. And you want that to stop, right? You want these two chuckleheads to get what's coming to them. Well, you don't give that up right away then. You make the fans wait for that. Then it's a big deal. Moss just losing out of nowhere is, okay, well, then he's a nobody, and we get it. He's a nobody. Well, that's not good. He's not supposed to be a nobody. He's supposed to be somebody. You do it all the time. You do it all the time. Here's some more evidence. Finn Balor comes, technically he beat Roman Reigns. If the ring hadn't collapsed, Finn Balor would have beat Roman Reigns. That was how you booked it. Roman was down. Balor's finishing maneuver was coming. Nobody kicks out of it. Reigns was losing. A couple of weeks later after that, he's losing clean to Xavier Woods, who wasn't beating anybody for a long time. Xavier was the weakest link in the New Day. So how do you expect fans to get behind that and say, wait a minute, I can't follow the pecking order? Xavier Woods was losing to mid-carders, yet he just beat a guy who almost beat Roman Reigns, who was unbeatable. It doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't make any sense. And that's why fans can't get behind characters. It used to be you introduced a guy like a Razor Ramon or a whoever, and they didn't lose for a while. They moved up the ladder, and you're like, damn, who's going to fight these guys eventually? And then when they started getting to the really good guys, you're like, well, this might be the night. And then somehow it wouldn't be the night, and it would either be a double count out or a double DQ or a screw job victory for the bad guy, and you're like, who's gonna finally pin this guy? That was the excitement of pro wrestling. Now, if you just wait a week or two, whoever they introduce, Todd, gets pinned eventually.
I'm absolutely right there, like you said, about Finn Balor struggling and Xavier Woods struggling to win matches, being the weakest link and everything. First it was Xavier Woods as being the weakest link on the roster. Now he's winning matches. Now it's the opposite with Finn Balor.
Yeah, all of a sudden Finn Balor has went from I basically beat Roman Reigns to I can't beat Xavier Woods, Mike. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it really doesn't make sense, you know, and that's the thing. And look, they're doing a very good job. You know, we talk about backwards booking, right? You know, and it doesn't have to just be for WrestleMania. This whole angle, this whole bloodline angle has been backwards booked pretty well, because you know where it's headed, right? It's headed
right
to the point of where Naomi will be there, and probably after she has her deal with Sonya Deville.
Right. Well, that's my whole point, Mike, is what is the most popular angle and who are the people who the fans care the most about in the WWE right now? That would be the bloodline. Why is that the most popular angle, and why do people care about him the most? Because you're long-term booking it, and the fans can clearly see things are coming. We can clearly see that it was done in a way that you're giving us a little of the story at a time, and you've got an end game. You've got something planned. We don't know exactly what, but we're seeing it progress, and we know it's going somewhere. There's not another person I can think of in the entire WWE that they're doing that with, Church. Not another single person that I can think of.
To be honest with you, neither can I.
That's why Roman Reigns is as popular as he is. It's like they're saying, well, if we do that with somebody else, if we do some long-term booking with somebody else, it might take Roman's gimmick down a notch or two. No, it won't. No, it won't. It'll just draw more fans to your product because now we got side stories we care about. I want a long-term angle with Big E. Why do I not have a long-term angle with Big E? Why right now can we not do that? We could. You don't want to. You're just going to treat him as, well, one contender at a time is going to step up until we decide who the next champion is. Well, I don't like that. I want a storyline involving him. And it's got to be more than Kevin Owens got mad at him one night. Because that's not a good storyline. Why can't we have a little tension when Kofi comes back? Why can't we have Big E say something innocent that Kofi takes the wrong way? And then Kofi say, oh, I see how it is. When I was the champion, you're saying we were all the champions. When you're the champion, all of a sudden you're the champion. And all Big E has to say is, that's not the way I meant it. You know that's not the way I meant it. Well, that's the way you said it. So usually people say what they mean. Then you get some hard feelings in there. You got Woods trying to break it up saying, you know, wait a minute. Big E didn't mean it that way. And said, well, you know what? You shut your mouth too, because when I was the champion, you were the champion, right? When you're the king, I'm not the king. I'm just somebody united. I'm beneath you, right? I didn't do that when I was the champion. I said we were all champions, remember? Kofi would have an argument. And you could also say, well, this is spurned on by the fact that Kofi didn't keep the belt very long. And Xavier's keeping it. I mean, Xavier's keeping the crown, and Big E's keeping the belt, and Kofi's getting a little jealous. You don't have to break up the New Day. You could just have it be a match where, you know, they are going at it because they have a difference of opinion. But at the end of the day, they're going to be brothers still. And it would be a very interesting feud. Because you don't really know where everybody's loyalty is going to be. Be very interesting. But no, they can't do this, Mike. It seems like they just want to focus on Roman Reigns because they feel if they take the focus off of him and put it on anybody else, that it's somehow a disservice to him.
Right, and think about this. Think about this. You know, you look at what they're doing to Roman Reigns and the Usos. What's the next team? What's the next thing that they're doing? That they're kind of sort of long term booking. It's the Lotharios, the Angel Garza, and Humberto Carrillo. We know what people can see, even though they're kind of arrogant and think they're hot stuff. People are liking them, right? People like them very much, and people can see where they're going with this team, that eventually this team is going to be the champions, right?
Yeah, and that's why you can't have Angel Garza pinned on SmackDown. I don't know why you did that. I have no idea why you did that. Okay, you don't want Shinsuke Nakamura pinned before his match with Damian Priest, but what the hell do you even have to have Angel Garza in the match? Let him fight Rick Boogs. And why is Shinsuke Nakamura so obsessed with the tag team anyway? He's a champion. He's a solo champion. Why is he getting involved in all these tag team things? That doesn't even make sense either. This is what I'm saying. You got Shinsuke Nakamura as a champion. He's got no storyline. You got Damian Priest as a champion. He has no storyline. You have Big E as a champion. He has no storyline. Only Roman Reigns does. Todd, that's why a lot of these matches just simply don't seem to matter.
Excuse me. No, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, these matches should matter, but most people don't care, and some people say the matches or the pay-per-views don't matter anymore.
I'm one of them, I have to tell you. Very, very rarely, Church, do I see a pay-per-view that I'm like, this is going to matter. This is going to be a biggie. And this one just isn't one of them.
Haven't seen it in the last 10 years.
I've seen it a few times, but not very many. I mean, what match in here matters other than possibly, I guess, Becky Lynch and Charlotte might mean something, but I don't know why it would. They're not on the same show anyway after this.
You'd have to go with Roman Big E if you're looking for a match that matters.
And even that's not going to matter because we already know that Big E's going to lose it, and it doesn't really matter if he loses it because his whole gimmick is I'm a beatable champion, and that's why I'm an underdog, and you should root for me because at any time this belt could be taken away. I could write a story that's so damn good for the New Day where Big E could literally say, I am heartbroken. I'm the champion. It took me forever to get here. I was happy for Kofi. I was happy for all of the success everybody had. And when I'm the champion, Kofi gives me this attitude. And Xavier could say, you got to understand his attitude, though. I mean, you did say this and you did say that. And I think he thinks you feel you're a better champion and that you don't feel he's the champion like we all said we were the champion. I know he's not right, but you got to understand the way he feels. And then Kofi could say the same thing to Xavier. Kofi could say, look, Big E's got his ego out of control here, and I feel like he's disrespecting me, and he's the last person in the world I thought was ever going to disrespect me. Now, I don't want to be the one to take his belt, really, but I think somebody needs to bring him back down to earth, teach him a lesson. Well, we're brothers. It would be best if it was me, right? With Xavier caught in the middle of that saying, I don't know, man. I don't like any of this. I don't like you guys, competing like this. We never did this before. I told everyone this wasn't the way the New Day was going to go. And they both could say, we didn't turn on each other. We're not enemies. We got a problem, though. We got a difference of opinion, and we're going to solve this like brothers in the ring. With Xavier saying, what happens if it comes out and it's not the same? You going to shake his hand, Kofi, if he wins? Big E, you going to shake his hand if he wins? Or are we going to be bitter? Are we going to let this title destroy everything that we had? Because it's not worth it. You got a great story there. Nah, I can't do it. We'll just have Kevin Owens turn on him in a match, and that's good enough. Because that's never been done in wrestling history. Somebody turned on somebody during a match. You got a compelling storyline of people who you don't know who's going to turn. You say, well, maybe Kofi's turning heel. Maybe Big E is. Maybe Kofi's right and Big E's ego's out of control. Maybe Big E's right and Kofi's just jealous. Maybe Xavier's right and they were better off when they were just tag team. Because now there's jealousy and professional envy and things getting in the way of their relationship. There's a lot of good could be done with a story like that, Mike, if they would just try.
If they just try. I mean, look, if you really wanted to flip Kofi, have him cost, Big E the match, maybe even cost Big E the championship, if you really want to flip Kofi.
And you don't even have to flip Kofi. I mean, the end game, if we're sitting in a writer's meeting doing this, we say, well, what's the end game? The end game is we flip Big E and he cheats to beat Kofi. Okay. The end game is Kofi gets beaten but is so jealous he attacks both Xavier and Big E after the match and New Day's ruined. Okay. They shake hands and they hug it out. Okay. Doesn't matter. All three ways work. All three ways work, and it depends on where the fans are going. Let's listen to what the fans are doing. Are they booing the hell out of Kofi because they think he's wrong? Could we get a heel run out of Kofi that people would like? Are they 50-50 where we better just keep them all friends? Are they starting to turn on Big E so we could get a good heel run out of him? Let's let the fans decide. Let's let them taste the product a little bit and see where the fans' loyalties are going. And then we can judge better where we're going to go. But right now we got three or four endings to this thing. That's all you'd have to do, Church, and everything would be fine. But the WWE has now adopted a philosophy. They don't want to work that hard.
Oh, no. Here's what they could do. They could have Kofi get agitated. They could play the whole vet versus – they could still play the I've had more experience at this company. You just get handed the title like that? I've been here longer and you get handed the title like that? I'm not trying to pull seniority over here, but come on.
There's so much could be done with that angle because these guys are legit friends and they're legit great on the mic and their tension would feel legit. I mean, if you ever had, I don't have any brothers, but I'm sure if you had brothers and one of them excelled at something, you might get a little jealous. Especially if you did it first and then they're getting more credit or whatever. I could see Kofi saying, I feel you're not giving me the same respect as I gave you when I was the champion. I feel you think my title reign was a joke because I didn't get by Brock Lesnar. That would be that's all you need to do. And you've got yourself some gold there. I mean, you could add anything you wanted to it. You could add MVP. Remember when MVP was sniffing around trying to get Kofi, trying to get Xavier to join with him? You could get MVP sniffing around again saying, what'd I tell you? Hey, Kofi, remember when you laughed me out of the building when I told you about your buddies? What do you think now? Then Kofi could say, I think the same thing. I think you're a rat. You need to get out of here. But you don't know what he's really thinking. And then you can go over to Big E and say, you know, there was a time when I thought Kofi and Xavier were the blue chippers, but you turned out to be that blue chipper. And they're just jealous. They're just hanging on your coattails. But you don't know what those two could plan, and you could use some backup. You know, and he could say, no, get out of here. I don't want nothing to do with you. It's just it's a little bit of a family confrontation. We're going to handle this like brothers. But you don't know. You don't know. There's so much drama you could bring to something like that. Is it a good match on paper, Kofi and Big E? Maybe not. But you're going to get a good match out of it. And you're going to get a lot of real emotion out of it. And that's what counts. That's why it was so good. That's why everybody liked the Roman Reigns thing. Jey Uso did a great job of knowing Roman is wrong, but still not wanting to disrespect family. And then when his brother came back being torn between, who do I listen to? But, excuse me. The guy that got me in the main event? Or the guy who's my brother and has been with me my whole life? And he's torn, and you can see he's torn. And Jimmy Uso eventually is torn too and says, I want my brother to succeed, and I want to succeed too. And I'm glad for what Roman's doing, but I think he's teaching him wrong. But then eventually coming around and saying, maybe this is the right way because it's working. All of that is good drama. All of that is gold as far as wrestling is concerned, Mike, and that's why everyone bought into this angle.
And frankly, here's another addition of that. You could have Jay or Jimmy or whatever, whichever one's married to her, go to Naomi and say, all you have to do to succeed is to acknowledge Roman as the head of the table. You know, just that. And as far as the Xavier Woods thing, hey, how about this? After a certain amount of weeks, you see the acrimony between Big E and Kofi, right? You see the relationship between them kind of deteriorating.
after a certain amount of weeks of him trying to put it together, have a MVP go to Xavier and say, why are you working so hard to put this relationship back together when it's obvious that they don't want it that way?
Yeah, look, there's so much you could do with this angle. You could sit around at a writer's table and come up with 6 months worth of stuff going in all directions. Branches on the trees is what we used to call them. You got the tree, and you know where the tree begins, you know where the roots are, and you know where the top is. Now, along the way, climbing, you got all kinds of branches. And if at any time you want to get off on one of those branches, you sure as hell can. But you got to have branches. It's not a phone pole, it's a tree. There's no branches. That's one of the big problems with WWE. It's just up the phone pole. No branches. We know where we're going, and that's where we're going, and that's it. There's a lot you could do with Big E versus Kofi. A lot you could do with the tension in the New Day, especially when you got Xavier there to say, this is exactly what we said we would never do. Every interview we ever did, every time we were ever asked, what did we say? We would never, ever compete against each other. We would never, ever turn our backs on each other because we're brothers. And now you two guys are fighting, and you can say all you want that you're still brothers and you're still this, that, and the other thing, but there's tension here, and I don't like it. It's not what we're about. It's a lot of drama, man. That's a lot of drama. I think they do very well behind something like that, Church.
Yeah, they can, and they probably should, because that is the smartest thing they could possibly do with the New Day since the, you know, inception, when everyone thought that they were just going to be a bunch of Uncle Toms coming out to the ring.
Yeah.
But if anything, I could possibly just see a heel turn where they break up for a minute, and then they're like, oh, wait, what the heck were you doing? Why did we break up again?
Right. That's another one where you talk about it. You say, okay, Kofi does flip on him, and Kofi does cheat. Doesn't win, but cheats, beats him up or whatever. But then when the chips are down and Big E is really in trouble, Kofi comes to help him, and they reunite. Of course. Of course that's what you do. You've just written a year's worth of stuff. Not a day's worth. You've written a year's worth. We're going to be back here on the radio show tomorrow to tell you exactly what happened here at Survivor Series. And I'll bet you, not that much. We may see some good matches, but I don't think we're going to see any branches on trees. We'll talk to you tomorrow. You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. WrestleChat Radio is a Savage Blade production.